DUI bill. That tells you one of their biggest special interests has said to kill felony DUI. Who is it? Why are the Dems doing this? We'll talk about that as well. Let's go to the VIP line and welcome Arapahoe County's fine district attorney, George Brockler, back to 710 KNUS. Mr. District Attorney, how you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm good, Dan. Thank you so much for having me on to talk about this. And I did hear you reference the felony DUI bill.
Yeah.
I'm just so gut hurt over that. And it's interesting that they would blame it on dollars when one of the things that never gets publicized are things like the public defender's office was easily able to obtain funding for 11 new appellate public defenders this year.
Wow.
And that's on top of receiving an additional $20 million in funding last year. We're at a place as a state of Colorado where between the public defender's office and alternate defense counsel, we are now spending more than $100 million a year to purportedly defend indigents in criminal cases, but we can't come up with far less than that to incarcerate those who put our families at risk on the road. It's ridiculous.
Well said. It looked to me, I'll pull up the articles, if it would have been, let's see, the fiscal note was projected at about $1.6 million. Really? We can't come up with $1.6 million to protect the people of the state from repeat DUIs?
No, it sounds like it's too much. But you know what? I think the real heart of this, though, the money's an excuse, but I don't think it's the real reason. I mean, if you look at statements by Senator Hodge, she says, well, I really think we ought to be focusing on treatment for alcoholics. Now, look, I'm all about rehabilitation, but you and I know this to be true, and that is alcoholics don't kill people. Drunk drivers kill people.
Right.
You can be an alcoholic in your garage all day long, and it's sad. You get behind the wheel, and it's murder.
Right. Right. Well said. And so what's really going on here? I mean, it seems to me, this is one guy's take on it. You may disagree. It seems to me that the Dems don't do something this blatantly wrong, particularly when it goes against strong public opinion, unless one of their big special interests has said, kill this. And I'm just trying to figure out which one or which combination of those interests it is.
Well, this has been the, and I'm taking last year and this year together, this has been the legislature of the offender for the last 2 years. There has been an absolute refusal to want to tackle issues regarding public safety in a meaningful and aggressive way. Part of that is probably because they get their bread buttered as much by the defense bar and by civil attorneys who are also defense attorneys who are trying to capitalize on being able to represent these guys as opposed to the victims like you do. And I think it's also, though, a fundamental disagreement on philosophy about when somebody does something wrong, should they be held responsible for their conduct? Or should we be trying to find some other ailment or part of the system to blame for what?
Yeah. Well, great thoughts. And we're doing the best we can on our end to drill down into this, use public records, et cetera, try to get to the bottom of who's calling the shots on this. I think you're probably right. I think there are some other suspects. What you don't know, and I'm not in a position to know unless we're able to hit a good document, is, you know, one of these gazillionaire leftists, you know, who's trying to influence Colorado, you know, is their far left view of what the justice system should be, you know, now worming its way into Colorado. We see Bloomberg trying to write our gun laws. You know, we see plenty of outsiders who see Colorado, you know, as ripe for manipulation through money, you know, trying to shape this state. So hope we can drill down to it. One thing we know is it's wrong, and I'm glad you're out there fighting this stuff. Tell folks, if you would, about this synthetic spice and why these busts were so important.
I will talk about that. If I could just throw this last thought in, because you have mentioned this multiple times, and that is, where is the governor on these issues?
Man.
I mean, you have a bully pulpit as the governor. Can you imagine where these bills would be and bills like them if John Hickenlooper took to the airwaves and took to the media and said Colorado deserves the same protection that 46 other states in the country have? But this guy is, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know where he is. I don't know if he's waiting to see which way the wind blows. But he is AWOL on these important public safety issues.
Don't you think it's two things, District Attorney George Brockler, our guest? One is, I think in his heart, he's a committed liberal. I mean, he's a leftist in his heart. The other thing is he's way cocky. I mean, he just doesn't think he's going to get threatened in this cycle. He thinks he can just stick it right in the people's face time after time again and still get reelected because he thinks the GOP is going to be so weak in this race. That's my take on it.
I think you're right, Dan. I do. And I think if you look back over these last 3 years, I defy someone to say, this is what the governor stands for, or this is an issue that the governor has put the full weight of his office behind because he believes in it in his heart. I mean, what is that issue? There hasn't been a single thing you can point to where you've said, you know who was a big leader on that at the state level? Governor Hickenlooper. I mean, this is a guy who stands at the – this is the definition of lead from behind. You know, once Colorado has made a decision, then he shows up on scene to say, yep, I was with you all along. I mean, come on.
No, you're absolutely right about that. And the way you called him out on Dunlap was critical. And I think he's probably most vulnerable on that, not only on the death penalty issue, but also on it as symbolizing his overall weakness. But again, it comes back to the alternative. Now, I'm hoping that he's going to get a rude awakening once the GOP settles on a candidate. I think everybody in the race is really solid and would be a far better governor than Hickenlooper. Whether whoever our nominee is going to catch fire once it's down to one, well, we'll find out together. I wish you had been in this race. I think you would have brought something very special to it, and I wouldn't have been at all surprised if you were the nominee, but I understand why you had to, you know, focus on your job as DA right now. But we've just got to hope that whoever our nominee is, once all of the money, once all of the energy organization is focused behind that person, that they can start to pressure Hickenlooper, because I think he has metaphorically a glass jaw. I think he's a phony. He pretends to be something he's not. He's very weak by nature. Doesn't make him a bad person. He's just very weak by nature. And a good, strong candidate who pressures him, you know, might cause good things to happen.
I agree with you. I think he is, and this is a short read from having spent a little time with him face to face, and then, of course, being an observer too, and that is he feels a lot like a guy who is desperate to be liked. And so anything that he has to do that puts him in a position to not be liked becomes a very difficult decision on almost any topic. And so he has managed to make it through as the luckiest guy in politics through two terms as a Denver mayor and one term as a governor, writing the, I'm the affable, I can't really harm anything. So what I would ask people though to consider is this. Look back over the last 3 years and ask yourself, how different would Colorado be if any one of the guys running for governor right now had been governor instead of this guy? And then I want you to look forward and contemplate, what does this guy do untethered to the idea that he needs to stand for re-election? What did the next 4 years look like when he doesn't have to worry about public opinion? I mean, it's scary.
Yeah, no, it is. It is. And, well, again, let's just hope whoever the nominee is can catch fire, catch a break, because I think it's going to take that. It's interesting. I don't know if you've looked at these issues at all. I'm just starting to dig into them as the legislative compromise failed, and it's clear now we're going to have at least one or more ballot issues on fracking. You know, what impact that's going to have on the statewide campaign? You know, where does Hickenlooper, who doesn't like to take a position on anything controversial, where does he come down on that? How does that play out in this election cycle? Do you have any thoughts on that?
I do. I think as the polls develop, you will begin to hear stories floated by Hickenlooper supporters and the people on his staff as to how he's leaning. My guess is you won't ever see him on TV come out and take a strong position for or against any issue on fracking, because while he wants to be in favor of it because of the strong oil and gas lobby that supports his reelection financially, I think on the other hand, he's deathly afraid of alienating those people who look at the EPA like the Catholic Church.
Right, right. Now, it'll be fascinating to watch it roll out. And again, D.A. George Brockler, our special guest, grateful for your time, George. Nice picture in the Post today. Holy cow, they normally don't give Republicans pictures like that.
But I think they airbrushed it to make me look thinner.
It's a good look. But if you would, tell people, because there are probably a lot of folks out there, you know, who are unaware of this spice danger, and maybe their kids have a packet of it hanging around, or their grandkids, or their girlfriend, or whatever. What's going on with that stuff, and why did you guys have to crack down?
Well, you know, you have been such a champion on the marijuana issue, and this grows out of this move towards legalizing and liberalizing the use of marijuana and other drugs. So, you know, we've been dealing with medical marijuana as a state for years, and it has been with the backdrop, this drumbeat that has taken place by the popular media that marijuana is less dangerous than alcohol, it's not addictive, it's just not that bad, it'll make you taller, smarter, and better looking, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so what happens is you have this drug introduced into the market that people wrongfully call synthetic marijuana. And the natural connection that's made, I think, with the public is, well, marijuana, whether it's synthetic or natural, I mean, how bad can it be? The problem is this stuff is largely based upon chemicals that come from China, completely unregulated chemicals. In fact, most people don't even know what they are that are bringing them in and packaging them and selling them to us and our kids. And they spray it on this green vegetable-type dried-up stuff. It could be marijuana, but it isn't. I mean, why do that?
Right.
And it's a hallucinogen in many aspects. It causes people to have varying reactions. No two people seem to react identically to this. But over August and September of last year, we saw about 267 people in the metro area admitted to the emergency room.
Wow.
We had a death, a young 15-year-old boy in Aurora who died as a result of the use of this. We had a guy try to cut his own head off. We've had people freak out in a convenience store. And one guy tried to set himself on fire. The anecdotes are incredible as to what this does, but it's packaged very deceptively. It's packaged with fun names like Crazy Clown and Sunset and 10X or Requiem or Triple X. And it says on the package, not for human consumption, but that's how it's marketed and sold in these head shops, in these different tobacco shops, in these convenience stores. And this sting that took place yesterday was, it's like nothing I've seen, having done this now for about 20 years. It literally stretched from Alaska to Florida. And it was the combined involvement of various law enforcement agencies, both local all the way down to, to city police departments like Castle Rock, all the way up to the DEA, the Department of Justice. The state attorney general jumped on this. I have not seen something this collaborative, widespread, and effective, honestly, since I've been doing this. And it was, I'm proud to be part of it. I think we did some good yesterday. And the idea here is to try to not only educate the public about the evils of this stuff called spice, but to also hold people accountable for trying to hurt the people in our community with it.
Well done. And that's the way it should work, right? Everybody working together like that. But it is rare to see. And, well, I appreciate your time this morning, letting people know about this stuff. And they can keep an eye out if there's still some lying around. And hopefully what you guys did yesterday is just going to wipe these guys out. And we just won't see the distribution of it.
You keep up the great work on this, because honestly, I think that there is a misperception out there that Amendment 64 created a Katie bar the door type atmosphere for not just marijuana, but a whole bunch of other drugs. And that's just not true. I mean, it definitely liberalized the laws in terms of personal possession, consumption of marijuana. There's no doubt about it. But it did not open the floodgates. It did not. And my guess is, having seen the ads you saw to promote Amendment 64, I never saw anyone say, hey, it ought to be all drugs all the time. You ought to be able to create anything you want in your basement or your garage. That is not what Colorado signed up for.
Yeah, and along those lines, when you have some time, hopefully we can get you in studio and just sit down and talk for an hour or so about the reality of legalization, what it means on the street right now in the schools, what you're seeing, because you're in a unique position as district attorney in Arapahoe County, which is kind of a large but a microcosm of America, to see what the real world impact of this legalization is. So hopefully we can do that sometime soon.
Love to.
All right.
Thanks for making time for it, Dan.
Thank you. Appreciate that. George Brockler, thanks. District attorney at Arapahoe County. Look forward to the next visit. Yeah, good man, doing a good job out there. Appreciate his time. Hey, when we come back, we're going to have a special guest from MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, to talk about this truly shocking's a way overused word, right? That this shocking, rejection by the Democrats in Colorado of a felony DUI law. We're now only one of four states without a felony DUI law. What's really happening here? Which big moneyed special interest are these Democrats caving to? 303-696-1971.